Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. And she uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. And here is Elizabeth. How are you this afternoon?
I am embarking on a healthy Tuesday. So that is the goal. Healthy Tuesday.
And she's at home, by the way, in case you didn't notice. We're doing this via Zoom.
Yes, but I can see you, so I feel like I'm there, which is really nice. And I have my in-home technician. My daughter Kelly has been kind of wandering around trying to get me organized. Kind of a perfect theme for what we're all dealing with these days is adapting to what our new normal is looking like and what it's going to look like moving forward. So today, you know, when I'm like all of you, I'm home and I'm home with my family and I'm trying to get out and get some walks in every day. And because the therapist in me can never sleep, I find myself doing neighborhood therapy with people that I'm running into along the way. And, this morning I had two conversations with moms who were out with their kids, children of different ages. One had teenagers, one had a preschooler and a second grader. And it was interesting because I knew I was going to do today's show about what's happening at home for parents. Because there's some, you know, concern about increases in child abuse if, you know, parents are stuck at home with no outlets and not a lot of resources, not of skills. So that's on one end of the spectrum. The other end is some concerned about, you know, kids having having way too much on their plate, too many expectations. You know, there's a lot of people that are trying to keep the kids doing schoolwork all day long and keeping them, doing worksheets and having resources. And so on one end is this not enough routine, and the other end is too much routine, and how do we find kind of that middle place? So I was thinking about that issue, and of course I'm walking along this morning and I see this mom with her two children, and she doesn't know me, I don't know her, but I just looked at her and I said, how are you holding up? And I didn't know if she would respond or just keep walking, but she turned, she said, we're really having a hard time. And we just had in the middle of the road. And she's a teacher and she has two children, and she's really struggling to keep up with her job and the expectations at the school that she has some sort of schoolwork every day for her children and for her students. And then the expectation for her as a mom and keeping her own children entertained or busy, and then trying to be a mom, you know, all those things that we're all kind of focusing on or dealing with at this moment. And in our brief conversation, I just said, you know, in some ways, our challenge right now is to let go of what used to be 2 weeks ago, the way our life was 2 weeks ago, and to step out and create a new normal. Because I think a lot of people are trying to hang on to the normalcy of their life. When you were getting up and going to work and going to school, and here's what school offered, and here's what dance class was, and you know, trying to do all those things, but from home, and also keep up with being at home. And that's a lot of pressure. And I think part of what we need to think about is, if we let all that go, how do we create a new normal that is good for our mental health, good for the mental health and well-being of our families and those we're responsible for? And, you know, there's been some blogs or advice or people that have been talking about just let it all go. You know, don't worry about screen time. Don't worry about a routine. Let kids eat whatever they want. And I think there's a danger in that, because children and adults thrive in having some sort of routine every day that they can count on, that things are going to happen at a certain time. It's why school is so wonderful. It's why kids do so well in preschool and elementary school, is because they thrive knowing what the routine is. So the task is, how do we create routine at home, but not try to mirror or mimic, you know, or replicate what was happening before we were sheltered in place? What does a sheltered in place routine look like? And the other piece that this mom talked about, and I heartily agreed with, is the overwhelm of resources. That in our best intentions of making sure that everyone has something to lean on, like a yoga class or academics for their kids or some way of reaching out, that a lot of us are experiencing resource overload. There's too much all the time. Try this out. You could have this opportunity. Why don't you take this class? And I just know for myself, getting ready to move my classes online at Cal Poly next week, I'm feeling overload. Way too much information is being sent for me to try to build this new course. And I think just having been through the last couple weeks of being courses for how to do my online classes, I just had to shut it down and stop looking at them and just do things as simply as I can. And so in my neighborhood therapy sessions and in my own life and in looking in my professional world, I'm trying to create this new normal that is simple but organized. Simple but getting the job done. It's not chaos and it's not throwing out the routine, but it's doing enough to keep us together. So I invited my friend Megan Englert. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's also the founder of Out of the Box Parenting. We've had her on the show a few times. She's another generation of parent from me, which is nice. So she has that younger perspective and she has young kids at home. And I've been kind of following what she's been doing with them over the last week or so. So Megan's going to offer kind of her insight and experience as a mom with younger kids. The other conversation that I had today was with a woman who has teenagers, and I want to make sure we talk about that as well, because it's teenagers have their own world, and how do we create that world for the teenagers, for our teenagers, that doesn't involve just losing them into video games and that online world? How do we keep them engaged, because they're cut off socially, they're socially isolated, which can be really challenging. So we're going to talk about that today, as well as how to recreate a normal for kids at every age. So that's where we're going today. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And if you are tech savvy and you'd like to participate in the conversation, you can do one of two things. You can call in to our regular number, 805-781-3875, and ask your question to Carol and she will translate it. You can send me your questions to our Instagram. Did I give the wrong phone number? I've only been gone for a week.
Well, no, what we did is we've been using a different phone number for the call-in shows. So it would be 805-549-8855.
Because say that once again, Carol.
805-549-8855.
So that will be the call number to ask a question and Carol will relay it to us. You can also send me a message on our Facebook page or through Messenger, Elizabeth at thereluctanttherapist.com. You can send me a quick email to Elizabeth at thereluctanttherapist.com. I can check that. Or on our Instagram page, you can also send us a question. And I think if you are a follower of Megan's on Out of the Box Parenting and you throw a question up to her, her Facebook page, Megan will also. So we've got a lot of ways for you to participate today. We're creating this new normal. And we appreciate you being here and supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back in a moment to start this conversation. With Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band bought that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't. When all else fails, I go to music and try to keep things a little light. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And Megan, it's nice to see you and have you on the air with us today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's good to see you too.
So I'm going to ask you that same question that I've been asking people out on the street. How are you holding up? What's going on at your house?
You know, today is, this week is a better week. You know, it's been rough for everybody. I think just the changes of everything going on and having our own feelings and then watching those feelings go through with our kids too, because, you know, they have some losses too of play dates and school and, you know, going to the library, going to swim class, things like that, that we have to talk about. So it's just finding the new normal within all those changes.
And so what is the conversation you're having about what's happening with the virus? Are you talking about why dance classes are canceled? Are you talking, you know, tell me how you're dressing and how old are your kids?
Maggie will be 5 in June and Henry is 2.5. And Henry's not, you know, understanding too much about it. He's listening to my conversations with Maggie. Her personality is that she is not satisfied and always has been since she was tiny without knowledge. She's always been going down the why rabbit hole forever. And so we've been going in bits and pieces of it. And so now she, has a better grasp of it. She knows, you know, we use the word germs, you know, mostly, but she knows the word COVID-19 now because she asked me, well, why is this germ different than other germs? And I'm like, good question. She knows it's a faster germ. She knows, that every single person in the world, she's big on the world right now. Is this bigger than the whole world? Does everyone in the whole world have it? And I'm like, well, the first time I can say, yeah, everyone in the whole world is experiencing this. You know, but not everyone in the whole world is a doctor. So we have to slow things down. And she gets that concept, well enough. And she's coming to grips with it.
And so how are you managing then the change in routine? How have you adapted to a new normal? What does that look like on a day-to-day so far, 2 weeks into it?
Right. We're still figuring it out. You know, I think 2 weeks in, I think now I'm probably on the same train as a lot of people where I'm like, okay, all right, we wrapped our head around this. Now let's go forward. You know, I may or may not have memorized Frozen 2. Mm-hmm. You know, that happened in the beginning a little bit because that came out. You know, we made up games. You look for Samantha for like an hour a day sometimes. We go for walks when we can. Recently, Maggie wasn't feeling too great. It wasn't anything to write home about, but it was enough to be like, we're going to stay on our front porch and do chalk drawing. So those kind of days are a little harder, but we're figuring it out. You know, I'm learning what our new normal was before. You know, Monday was swim class, Tuesday was school, Wednesday was, you know, music, you know, those type of things, and trying to fill in those blanks so I know what day it is.
We need a routine. We need to have some flow to the day. Cause I think as a mom, and I remember very much having young children, that if I didn't delineate my days, you know, where with a beginning, a middle and an end, there has to be an end to the day. The parenting job can just feel endless and therefore more draining.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we're definitely keeping the nap schedule and the bedtime routine pretty much the same as before, and the wake up times as the same for us, because that just works better. You know, a lot of people are maybe sleeping in. If that works better for them and they need the sleep, great. My kids are going to be up at 6:30 no matter what. So I take that. I'm really thankful that we had a quiet time routine already set in stone, even for my almost 5-year-old, so she can entertain herself safely for up to like 90 minutes, you know, and I get that little time to myself, to do whatever. If that's clean, if that's eat, if that's freak out for a few minutes, you know, I allow myself to do that, in that time. And then weekends, we try to make it a little bit differently, but it depends on rain, depends on if my husband has to work a little extra, you know, it's just, we have to figure it out still.
Like life in general, figuring it out in real time.
Right.
So let's back up too, because I think you touched on it and I don't want to skip over that, that there is a bit of mourning that has to happen for kids of all ages, whether they're 5 or 15 or 23, all of their lives have been disrupted. And, you know, I think for adults, and I'm older than you by quite a bit, that if you, the longer you've lived, the more you've learned to accept disappointment and realize that it's going to pass. But I think if you're 5 or 15 or 23, your life is still so short that even a month feels like a year. and how it's so important to allow them all an opportunity to grieve what they're not getting to do, mm-hmm. and to maybe have some even little ritual around that, or acknowledge it, like to spend some time every day saying, you know, here are the things I'm missing today, or here are the things I'm sad about.
Yeah, that's really important. One of the things you've been doing a little bit is it's this app, which I think has been around for a while, called Marco Polo. And we've been, it's just basically sending little video snaps to people, you know, individualized. So if you can't, you know, schedule in a time, and she's just been hopping on to her friends, or the parents really, and just saying, hi, I miss you. We're going to have a play date soon. And, you know, I want to show you this when we do. And, or I miss my teacher, here you go. Or hi, swim coach, how are you doing? And I'm practicing my stuff, and, you know, things like that. And giving them extra jobs too, to help them cope with it. Because when you're feeling out of control, one of the best things to do is have a helping job, because that gives you something to do. And that helps us as well, especially those in helping fields. But kids love the helping jobs. Writing a note for the postal worker and posting it outside the door has been helping. Going outside, we called it a toddler tailgate party, going outside to our driveway and cheering on the garbage trucks because they're awake anyway. Things like that, sending notes to grandma and grandpa, you know, have been really helpful, and letting them process that at the same time.
Yes. And so then if you've got a 15-year-old or a 17-year-old, you know, and they're mourning their peer groups, because adolescents are very focused outside of the home. And now all of a sudden they're in the place they least want to be, which is with their family all the time. And so aside from just, you know, the things that I think we fall back to, fortunately we have things like Zoom and FaceTime and ways for them to connect. But here's the kind of the radical idea I had, and tell me what you think if we've passed that. But one of the things we've lost in the era of video games and instant connection with FaceTime is what we used to do as adolescents 20, 30 years ago, which was learn how to build something or make something or cook something or create something. You know, that it seems like a lot of teenagers are kind of going through those years not learning basic life skills. And maybe this is a time and an opportunity to kind of change up, instead of, you know, allow them to grieve and be angry that they can't go see their friends or play basketball or, you know, but also say, you also can't live on your screen. And here's some things that you, like, make a list of things you've always wanted to learn to do. Yeah. And in my head, I can't think of this, but I just know that when I met my husband forever ago, and he was in his 20s, he was still doing model airplane things, you know, when he had spare time, or rebuilding a bicycle. And these are the things that we lament as parents are going away. Our children are never going to learn these hands-on skills because they're too busy with sports or too busy on the screen. And it's almost like we've been handed this opportunity, this gift, to say, here, what are the life skills my teens need to know before they leave? Here's a chance for them to learn them. And how do we then have that conversation with our teens who are going to say, that's stupid, why are you making me do this? You know, how would you negotiate that? What would be your thoughts on that?
Well, I think giving an example of yourself, for me, honestly, it's weird. This week I was thinking, you know, not that I have a whole lot of extra time because I have two young kids, but I was thinking, you know, maybe I can use this time to do something I've never done before. And part of that is it's so strange and silly, but I kind of want to learn how to juggle. I want to learn how to do that. And my husband knows how to do that. So I'm like, maybe we can have a date night of him teaching me how to do that, you know, too. And kind of tell examples of things that you'd like to do and things that you'd like to learn, and open that up to them and just give them some time to marinate on it, especially teenagers being like, hey, this is my, I have an idea. Don't, you know, don't say, you're going to do this. You know, you can phrase it like, I wonder if there's anything you wanted to learn before, you know, anything new that I could teach you. And just research it, look it up, see what you want to do. And then I like this trick with all kids, all ages, look at a calendar, like pick the date you'd like to learn that. And then it's their idea of when they want to start it. And that's good for other skills too. Like, hey, you're going to start doing your laundry. Pick a date you're going to start that. And then we're like, okay, five more days. And then, you know, here's soap. You know, so things of that nature too, you could probably teach them those life skills, chores as well.
Because I think I of course keep trying to reframe the positives of what's happening, and not only learning those life skills, having them, I love the idea of, hey, you know, choose a couple of things, write them down, and when you'd like to start them. We always used a book when we couldn't communicate with our teens. We'd write in the book, here's some things you might want to think about, and then pass them the book and they could write back all the reasons why they hated the idea, but at least they thought about it or responded in a good way. But I think this is a great opportunity for parents of teens who have been feeling because of screens to kind of take back that relationship with their teenagers, to try to take back and not control, I'm not taking control of your teenagers, but take back that relationship and change it, what that dynamic looks like, because there are skills they need to learn and how to manage the mental health piece of, I've just had everything I cared about taken away from me. Yeah. How do I cope and build resilience? Because what I don't want parents to do is try to bubble their children at this moment so that they don't feel uncomfortable or unhappy or disappointed. You know, don't keep buying them things or making it easier or allowing them to spend all day on the screen because you don't want them to be sad, because you're missing this awesome opportunity for them to learn resiliency skills. And that is incredibly important. If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and I'm having a conversation with my friend, psychotherapist Megan Englert. She's the founder of Out of the Box Parenting. We're kind of hashing through some coping skills ideas and how to create and adapt to a new normal as we move forward. And if you'd like to participate in the conversation, there's a few ways you can do it. I'm going to go back to Carol for a moment because I already forgot our phone number that we're using. I know it's 805-543.
No, it's 805-549-8855.
And one more time.
805-549-8855.
And so if you have a question or a comment you'd like to make, you can give us a call and Carol will pass that question along to Megan and myself. So kind of jumping back to this idea of an opportunity for developing resilience and how do, you know, because I think as parents, and I remember feeling this way, you know, something scary is happening and we want to protect our children, but sometimes the best thing we can do for them is allow them to feel the fear while we're all together and you can help them move through the fear rather than protect them from the fear. And then they leave home at 20 and they have no coping skills. How do you see that?
I agree with that. Actually, I had a conversation about fear with my kids this morning, even on a smaller scale, but it does relate to the bigger picture of everything here. And that we went for a hike today, and a recent hike we went on, that it was really windy and the leaves are blowing, and my 2-year-old was scared of the wind. So every time we go up there now, he's scared of the wind. And so we were talking about fear and how that can make you make some poor choices sometimes, like screaming at mom to pick him up or else, instead of taking a deep breath and asking for help, you know. And so taking those moments to think about, you know, what you're feeling and how you can handle it in a different way, admitting when you handled it one way, and then thinking about the next way you can handle it going forward. For that, I'm trying to think of other things for fear, but coping wise for me, that's been helping me in this time at least, and I'm guessing it would help some teenagers. I think it would help some school age kids who maybe tend to ruminate and have a lot of questions. And my recommendation for that is questions are going to pop up right now for kids about play dates and all these things and what's going to happen. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with them answering all their questions all day long. And so I do a thing called the worry box. And I actually have one for myself because these thoughts keep popping into my head about family members, about the homeless community, about the world, about just things keep popping up, and it's keeping me from feeling grateful. It's keeping me from feeling connected to my kids. And so when they pop up, I write them down on a piece of paper, I put them away. And just writing them down and me acknowledging them makes it better for some reason. I'm like, okay, you're there. Great. Now go over here and stay there for a while. And then when the kids are asleep, but I have some time, I review all of them and process them in real time. And then I don't have as many the next day. And I think that's a helpful coping skill that you can do and model that for your kids as well. And that's what we can start with. If we don't know how to teach our kids how to cope, model it ourselves and let them see that.
And that's a great point, because a lot of parents have been asking me about, you know, their kids who struggle with anxiety already or already have shown symptoms of depression or ADHD, you know, prior to this. How do we manage those kids that already have come in, you know, with a predisposition towards heightened reactions.
Yeah. The worry box is definitely, I found it to be helpful in those situations for with kids who have gone through even traumatic experiences before. Like, if they were in a fire recently in California too, that it could re-trigger some stuff because things are up in the air. And having that time to go over it with them and then set a clock for say 15 minutes with your child and say, let's go over the things in your worry box. And then when the timer's up, then we're done with our worry time. If we have enough time left over, let's connect, let's talk, let's play a game, let's do something fun and silly. And then eventually that time will, you'll be playing more than you are working on it. But when they know there's an outlet, when they know they have a way to process it, it does help a lot.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about kids who have, you know, struggle with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at home with parents who don't spend all day with their kids on a regular basis. What are some strategies for these families? Because as I said at the opening of the show, we have two ends of the spectrum we're looking at.
Yeah.
One end is a concern of heightened risk for child abuse for parents who are at the end of their rope already mm-hmm. and have challenging kids. And mm-hmm. then parents who are just thrown, you know, too much 24/7 and not testing them. Let's go down to the heightened risk for potential child abuse for parents who are at the end of their rope and mm-hmm. have challenging kids. What are some skills they can use?
Well, I have a chart that I like to use that is really helpful to me. And I've spoken about it on the show before. It's at my website at otbparenting.com. It's a free download. And it's basically, if you're feeling a certain way, like the example would be here, and I'm guessing this is kind of where everyone's going to be at right now, is angry, challenged, frustrated, or defeated, right? That's where we are. Your kids are probably feeling out of control, like they don't belong. So what you need to do is offer them choices of things that they can do and assign helping tasks. And I like to use this chart with them. And that's how you model it. You know, take a deep breath. Like, I'm going to use my chart right now. Come with me. This is how I'm feeling. You might be feeling this way. Is that true? Let's talk about it. This chart says this might help. Let's have, you know, let's have a solution focused moment here about what can help. Other ideas. This is actually inspired by a person who I worked with in the past who came up with this out of the box idea on herself, which I love. And I like to do feelings charts with kids with their own faces on them. So I take pictures of their sad, their angry face, and I have it around the house. So if they can't tell me how they're feeling, they point to it. which is really helpful. And you can also go further and take, you know, some of the higher feelings, like maybe it is excessive energy, maybe it is angry, maybe it is sad, and take those and do a collage project with them and say, what kinds of things can I do when I'm feeling angry? Let's go through some magazines. Let's write some ideas down and then post that up. And when you're seeing your child feeling those ways, you can say, let's go over to this area and find different coping strategies that work for you in the moment. Those are what another idea is you as an adult taking a time out and just saying, I need some space, model that, walk away if you need to. If they follow you, you know what? Great. They can watch you take deep breaths mm-hmm. And then move on. And maybe they'll learn something. I mean, I do that quite often. And my son now will look at me and say, I need a minute. And he goes into his room and closes the door. Fine by me.
And I think something else is the conundrum between how much time do we have to spend with our children? How much time is it okay to let them be self-sufficient in their time? And that's age appropriate too. You're not going to leave a 1 or 2 or 3 year old wandering around the house, but there is a great use for safe areas, you know, playpens or, you know, secure areas for kids that are under 2 or 3 to mm-hmm. have them. If you need a timeout yourself all of us as parents do, you know, create that sort of playpen area that is cordoned off, and they might not like sitting in there and they might get angry. It's much better for them to be in there during times that you need a break than for you to be angrily still with them. So that's for the little littlies. But if you've got a 4, 5, 6 year old and older, what is our responsibility as parents? Because this is what I heard from the moms both today. You know, I've got to work all day still.
Yeah.
What is my responsibility for sitting and doing schoolwork or entertaining my child? You know, I don't want to just stick them in front of a movie, but what do I do?
When they have to work from home and their kids are home at that age?
Yes. Is it my responsibility to play with them all day and be their, you know, companion?
At that age, they can, I think, learn different imagination skills in that time. I will say my kids go a little too far with the imagination and I have to break some stuff up. When Henry eats Maggie's ice cream, I'm like, just pretend a new one, guys. It's cool.
Yes.
Notice, I think, the trends of the day with them too. My kids tend to play together and or alone in the morning and do great with that. And that's when I get some work done too sometimes. I do like the quiet time, even for a 4, 5, 6 year old. I have a okay to wake alarm clock in the room with my daughter. She does sleep half sometimes still. So the room is dark for her and it could look, it depends on your kid too. And when the light goes green after 40 minutes and 40 minutes is her magic number. If she can sit in the dark for 40 minutes and play with her stuffed animals, if she falls asleep, great. If she doesn't, then the light goes on and she can turn the light on, read some books, do some quiet activities that I have set up for her. You can also try to make your house more inviting to imaginative play as well, which it's a challenge right now because you try to clean one thing and the next moment you turn around and it's dirty again or something else has been thrown. So you can set up different things. I've done block structures in the morning when the kids wake up and then I'm like, okay, I can have coffee now. Mm-hmm. Because this whole little thing has been made for them. You know,
it's like you're planning for breaks. It's almost like you have to do the prep so you get the 15-minute yes. window.
And speaking of planning too, you can always say, hey, when this timer goes off, I'm going back to work for this amount of time.
Yes.
If you need me, what can you do? And how can you handle that? And things like that. We've had moments when my son wants to come out of the house with me, but my daughter wants to stay and do a puzzle. And Jesse's working from home. He's here, but he can't get to her. But I'll say, Maggie, you can play by yourself. You're old enough to babysit yourself essentially with dad home. If you have an issue, you can go find him and tell him he's all open his door. He can hear you if you call for him, if you need him. And then we'll go out for 5 minutes, 10 minutes and then come back in. And she loves it. Cause she's like, I'm so grown up. Mm-hmm. I can babysit myself. And I'm like, don't tell anybody that you're not really alone.
right. Don't tell anyone. And I think it goes back to what I was mentioning before is there has to be a new normal. There has to be some routine. Otherwise your day is too long or you feel like you should be entertaining the kids all day. And I like the idea of paying attention to their moods. You know, when are they most active? When are they feeling like they can use some quiet time in play and let the day ebb and flow and keep consistent the bedtimes, keep consistent the meal times. I think having the consistency because kids clocks will fall into a rhythm if you do the same thing at the same time every day and yes. put them to bed a little earlier than you generally would and let them get used to an earlier bedtime. Because if you're not at work all day long, for parents that have been furloughed, you know, and their normal was to get home from work at 5 or 5:30. And then by the time you have dinner and bath and bed, it's 8:00, 8:30 by the time the kids are in bed. But if your child's under the age of 8 or even 10, they probably would do well going to bed earlier. So if you're working from home all day, I would aim for a 5 o'clock dinner, 6 o'clock bath, and 7 o'clock bedtime.
Yeah, we do something similar to that for them. But 6 o'clock dinner for them, baths are random only because my kids have sensitive skin, so we don't do that every time. If we do, it's a quick one right now because right now they just really want water all over the floor. And I'm going to lose it if it happens again. So I'm just like, short bath time, let's go. Go with the moments. And then bed at 7. We have a bedtime clock, which I love. And it's called the Hatch. And it's basically, you have timers on there and it goes off when you need to. So when they hear the twinkle, twinkle music at 7 o'clock, book time is over and it's bedtime. And if you want to see the rainbow lights, you better be in bed. And we've also been doing more now, which we're getting so much family time right now. So I'm not worried about it, but right. I give them their dinner. And they sit together. And if they need some help with eating, I'll sit with them. But for the most part, they eat. And then when they go to bed, we have dinner. And we have our little time together for that piece of it, which does help to separate that a little bit for us and make the day a little less long.
Perfect. And that's, I think, where we're going to head to next is if we have the kids organized, how do we still maintain our own mental health and well-being and the mental health and well-being of our relationships? If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. I have my friend and guest, Megan Englert, on today. She has started a business called Out of the Box Parenting. And you can contact Megan if you'd like some of these tips that she's talking about. She does online parent coaching all the time. What's the best way to reach you, Megan?
Different ways. There is my Facebook page, at OTB Parenting, and my email is also perfect, otbparenting@gmail.com.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX, and our number, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, is 805-549-8855. We'll be back in a moment to take your calls and continue our conversation. You're feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself. Well, you're feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. My guest is Megan Englert, and we're talking about, one, how do we tame our wild things during our shelter in place? How do we adapt to and create a new normal when things aren't normal and we don't really know what the plan is moving forward? Mm-hmm. And Megan, we stopped right before the break talking about taking care of our relationships outside of our children, because it's really easy to get caught up in trying to keep our kids entertained, keep them busy, you know, use all the resources. I think I've never seen parents feel so overwhelmed with trying to, you know, keep life normal for their kids, but it's not normal. And mm-hmm. so it's okay to not have the same routine you had before, but to create a different routine that definitely includes making time for you and your spouse or your partner or a close connection. So you mentioned one of the tricks was to get everyone to bed earlier than usual and get them used to that earlier bedtime. We know we're going to be doing this for at least another month. So mm-hmm. adopt an earlier bedtime and then have dinner with your partner a little later, or have dinner on Zoom or Skype with a friend.
Yeah.
And have that adult time, because it's easy to lose ourselves as parents.
Yes. And it's easy to just go and watch all the news when the kids go to bed, and then you're going to sleep going, oh no. so, you know, keeping an eye on your sleep too, which is really helpful. We've been playing games with friends online through Zoom and through some virtual games, which has been really fun. Just silly things you don't have to think about too much, which has been helpful. and just keep an eye on your sleep and how well you're sleeping. And if you have to change your routine to make sure that you can get a bit, some better sleep. I've been having some strange dreams that you don't have to really interpret. It's just, I can see all my friends and family are within reach, but I can't get to them and they're all two dimensional. So, it's just all that Zoom chatting. you know, just keep an eye on those sort of things as well. And to reach out to people. Yeah.
Reach out and nurture the relationships you have at home. You know, if yes. you are married or in partnership and you are with someone full time, it's really important to find new ways to be together. Because for a lot of couples, even if you don't have kids, this might be new to you, being together 24/7 working from home, and you've got to create a new intimacy schedule. You know, finding times to connect and outside of feeling stressed, or, you know, create new routines and new normals. And Carol, you're waving to me. What have you got?
I am waving. We have a question from Chris in Los Osos. And Chris says, I have a boy and a girl in their early teens, and they're starting to take their anger out on each other and on us. What are some tools I can use to help them redirect their anger and communicate better?
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Megan, you want to go first?
There we go. I was muted. yes. So actually that chart that I mentioned earlier, I have a new blog post up about that specifically. And I've been using that chart with my kids.
And with teens as well, you think?
You can use it with your partner, with your spouse. You can use it with adults. I have a worksheet on there that you can try as well on my website, otbparenting.com. And basically you just say, how are you feeling? Okay, well, if you're feeling this way, your brother is probably feeling like this. What are some ways that we can help the situation? That's one way to handle it. I do at home what we call time-ins. And when I say, okay, it's time for a time-in, they sit on the ground and we work out what's going on all together if they need it. Teenagers, you know, are probably not going to want to do that. We also have, this is for our younger kids right now. We have a point system right now for getting along. They get points for, settling a conflict by themselves. They get points for settling a conflict with me. I don't know what that point system is going to reward yet, because it's an experiment. I'm trying to figure it out. But it might just be like, you know, we're going to have a party together, and what do you want to order? You know, what kind of food do you want to get from curbside or whatever?
So that might be fun celebrate. With teens. Yeah, that might be fun with teens. Because the first thought I had was try to get them working on a project together for something yes. that they can be struggling with or be responsible for as a team. So that kind of force them nicely into cooperative mm-hmm. work. Yes. And I don't know what that looks like, you know, building a birdhouse in the backyard or creating some sort of meal mm-hmm. plan. Or
meal would be great. Having them mm-hmm. cook for... create a menu together and cook together would be great. I have this activity that I've done with people, and all ages like it. It's really easy. You probably have all the materials in your house. You just need at least 2 cups and a rubber band and enough string for the people playing. If there's 2 people playing, you get 2 strings each, and you tie them on the rubber band, and you have to expand the rubber band and put it over a cup. And if somebody is working too hard and pulling too hard, it's not going to work. If someone's not working enough, it's not going to work. So you have to work together and communicate about how to get the rubber band over the cup. And then you can do cool things like stacking them, making a tower of all these cups using rubber band and string. So everyone's work is important and needed, and every interaction is important and special.
I think that that's not just for our kids and our siblings and teens, but trying to again find those cooperative activities, because at the end of the day, when we're done sheltering in place and moving back out, this is a unique opportunity to build new ways of having relationships together. And mm-hmm. one of the most challenging things of raising teenagers is when they do, you know, they're the whole idea of adolescence is launching from home. It's that slow process of,
yeah.
you know, developing those skills to be ready to become young adults. And part of that developing those skills is pushing away from our family. It's like, don't come near me, but I need you to drive me to the mall. Remember, that was a big yeah. book back in the day. Don't talk to me, but can you take me to my friend's house? So there's that pushing away piece that's a natural, but there's also a strong desire to be connected. So although the teens might be fighting or acting out or saying, I don't want to be here, or this is the worst, there's a whole underlying dialogue of them saying, I want to feel connected. I yes. want to be part of my family, but I don't know how to do that anymore because some thing inside of me is driving me away from you, but I want to stay connected. And so as parents, you kind of keep wrapping around them and bringing them into the family by giving them tasks that are important, that are helpful, assigning mm-hmm. them things to do that are meaningful. And then I am all about some sort of, you know, celebration of that effort at the end of the task or job. And not yeah. a reward as much. I'm not a big rewards no, person, but I like either. A celebration.
Yeah. And what we're planning on doing at home is we have these beans that we're putting in the jar. Mm-hmm. They're already used. I know beans are a hot commodity right now, so I'm not wasting food. It's just they were already around the house, you know, been played with. And so my plan is just at the end of the week, let's count them. And let's see if we can beat that count next week and write it down and just celebrate each time and talk about, we didn't get as many this week. What happened? You know? Or whatever happens with that. But also with teens, I feel like, and honestly, all kids, ask them. Just say, hey, when they're calm, not when they're, you know, agitated.
At each other.
I've noticed you guys have been fighting more lately. What are your ideas? How do we solve this? And you'll be surprised what they come up with. And when they come up with something that's their own idea, they're more bought into even trying it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Right. And it goes back to, when would you like to start behaving differently?
Exactly. When do you want to start being nice to everybody? Yeah.
And I do, and I go back and I lean on this a lot, the old book, having that journal, the family journal around when you can't speak to each other, you know, in person, but to have a place to write down your thoughts and feelings and everyone can read that at, yes. in their own time and respond, kind of gives a little distance.
And you can have fun with that sort of thing too. Use their interests and their strengths. If their strengths is writing and poetry or whatever it might be, and their interest is Harry Potter, you know, get a stuffed owl and throw the note at them with the note attached to it and have a fun, make it fun, you know?
Yeah, again, this, and I know we say this a lot in the helping professions, but everything in life can be reframed. Everything in life is just a story of how we are perceiving what's happening. And so if our story is the world's coming to an end and this is the worst thing ever happened and everything's going to be destroyed, then that's going to emanate off of us. And it's going to be the temperament of our family situation. And I'm not saying to be Pollyannish about it and ignore it, but we get to reframe what's happening and look at it from a different perspective. There may never be another opportunity or time in your life that you have a chance to bond with your children, teenagers, young 20-year-olds in this way. You may never have this opportunity with your spouse to be together in this way. And I already can feel myself feeling a little sad in anticipation of our family unit not being together in a month from now, or, you know, 8 weeks from now, whenever we get the all clear. It's all in how we tell the story of what is happening in the moment. And if you were to go to a therapist today and say, I'm coming unglued and I can't stand being around my kids and my husband's driving me nuts, say that therapist say is, how do we reframe the situation into something positive?
Yeah, it's something you can control.
Yes. And you mentioned that as well, that in times that things are out of control, what are the things we can do to give us a sense of grounding?
Yes, definitely.
My guest is Megan Englert. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And the number we're using today to be part of the conversation is 805-549-8855 in our last 10 minutes or so, if you have a comment or question. So how do we let go of the way things were 2 weeks ago for those that were teachers or are teachers and are feeling pressured to keep teaching their students, but also being home with their own children and taking care of them? And I'm thinking about the mom that I just met on the street today and asked her how she was doing. And she said she was struggling. How, you know, what can we let go of to make space for something new?
I think that depends on you and what's going on. For me, I've let go of my house right now. Like, I know it's not going to be always the same. You know, there's this funny meme where it's like, my kids can look amazing, I can look amazing, or my house can look amazing. You're not going to get all three. And I think we always strive for all three, and just giving ourselves some grace to focus on our mental health and our connections. And just reveling in those moments that you have patience with the things that are hard and rewarding yourself for those. I've been feeling really good about having good interactions. Last week, I was not feeling very good about myself because I was not super patient. And just remembering, like, wow, I feel so much better when I use the strategies I know. Mm-hmm. And again, just going back to the things you can control and letting go a little bit of some things that you can't.
And Carol, what have you got for us?
We have another question for you. This is from Grace in San Luis Obispo. Grace is working from home, but constant interruptions from her 8-year-old make it really hard to get the work done. She says, I can do some work at night so that I can give her time during the day to help with her homework, but how can I teach her to go for longer periods of time without interrupting me while I'm trying to concentrate?
Ooh, that's a great question, Grace. And this is right up Megan's alley.
It is. I'm struggling with an answer right now because I'm waiting for my kid to come in right now into this room. But yeah, you know, I have a good strategy that I like to use when I'm talking to somebody else, and I do have young kids, of course. But as soon as I'm having a good conversation, as soon as I'm busy or on the phone, they need something, and they don't before that. So we have a routine where they put a hand on my shoulder, and I know that they're next, and I'll say, like, I'll get to you when I can. Set up sort of some sort of schedule ahead of time. Again, ask your child, say, what, this is keeps happening, and what do you need so I can finish this? Do you want a timer? Do you need this? Like, get some ideas, get some talking, use those moments for conflict resolution skills. Like you mentioned earlier in the beginning, some life skills that we can be focusing on. And I think that's a good opportunity for that as well. I also wanted to mention too, I'm not taking on any more long-term clients right now because those take a lot of my time. I don't have as much of it right now, but I can work on short-term stuff. I always give a free 20-minute phone call So if I'm not answering your question very well, Grace, feel free to email me and we can set up a phone call and kind of work on a plan that works with your child's interests and strengths and your schedule.
And how do people contact you for information?
You can go to my website, otbparenting.com to request a phone call, or email me at otbparenting@gmail.com. And then we'll set up a scheduled phone call within our schedules and try to make it work for 20 minutes.
And just off the top of my head also for Grace and anyone who's trying to work from home and with their kids, I go back to the idea of adopting a routine, having a schedule and putting up just like they do at school, kind of a chart of here's how the day is going to look so that your 8-year-old can see, because they're only in the moment. And in the moment they're thinking, I want mom and I don't have your attention. But if they can look at the chart and say, oh, wait, at 2:30, I, you know, get to have a snack break with mom, or at, you know, 10:45. So if you build on a chart that you both kind of operate from, or the whole family operates from, and it sets this routine, the routine is huge, so that for an 8-year-old, instead of feeling like, if I don't get your attention now, I'll never get it again, they have a way of seeing, oh no, it's, I get time here and I get time here and we've got a plan at 4:30.
Yeah.
I can be okay in this moment.
Yes. One thing that I do use at home that is a major fail on my part because the battery died and I can't fix it, is that I have an analog clock that is, I can easily tape things to. So I have pictures on there if they're visual, especially for bedtime, like, oh, the minute hand is on the bathtub, so we got to be in the bath now. And if it keeps going up, you know, you might miss book time. It's going to be past the books now, and now we have to go to bed. But that could be helpful visual, you know, if your daughter comes in and you can say, go look at the clock, what is it pointing to? When it points to mom time, I will come out there and be with you at that time. Right now it's mom work time. And so she can keep a track of that minute hand. If she can tell time and just look at the visual images that are on there, and then just go in every hour and change those little images around if you need to, and just go from there.
And also something we mentioned earlier is that it's not our responsibility as parents to be our children's full-time play companion, that it is okay for them to learn the skills of solo play and using their imagination. And one of the things we've done here at my house, because I have my daughter, husband, my other daughters are all here, so I do acknowledge that we have more adults than children, which gives us an advantage. But we cleaned out the garage and moved everything around and made it a super safe space and laid out some old kind of camping rug out there. And we put Legos and dress ups. And so the garage is kind of the safe space now for our 4-year-old, so that there is that built-in quiet time that she has every day. There's an hour that she's kind of doodling around out there. And it took probably 2-3 days for her to not keep coming in every 5 minutes saying, someone play with me, someone play with me. But she settled into that time and has a space that's safe for her. So if you can create some area in your home that you know is safe, that your 4, 5, or 6-year-old can be in for a period of time, that's really helpful, because it also helps them learn autonomy. It helps them learn to be creative. And boredom is fabulous for imagination development. And one of the downsides of saying, well, I'm just going to throw out all of my screen rules during this shelter in place, it's really hard to get kids back once they get addicted to going to the screen every time they're bored. And I really caution against using the screen as your time filler during the shelter in place, even though it feels like it's a short amount of time. It'll be really hard to go back to any other rules once they've had this. So to try to take this opportunity to help your kids develop autonomy, imagination, sit with boredom long enough to something else comes up, and to kind of hold the line. And it really only takes 2 or 3 days of them not going to the screen, or coming in and saying, entertain me, and you not giving in and saying, no, this is your time for creativity, for them to start picking that up.
Yeah. And it takes practice too. And just like any new skill, if this is a skill, if they haven't done it before, they're going to have to learn it. And when you start a new skill, you're not good at it at first. And just give them a little bit of grace with that too. And if you're finding that it's still happening, maybe carve out 5 minutes to do something that's really connecting, like tell a story about them when they were a baby. They love that. And they feel super connected to you with that. Find a new freckle you've never noticed before. See if that dimple is still there. You know, do those little tiny little connecting things. doesn't matter how old your kid is for those things. You can still do those. And even if they go, Mom, stop, like, you know, they like it. So, you know, find moments of just having fill your cup, connecting activities that are short to do that. And I have lots of ideas on my website for that or on my Facebook page, or you can just email me for some ideas too. I can give those to you.
In the last couple minutes, I just want to reiterate the importance of taking care of ourselves as the adults, because we really are looking towards me. You know, all the young people are looking towards us as the adults in the room to kind of get a gauge of how we're feeling. And so if you're not feeling okay, if you're feeling stressed, if you're not getting enough sleep, you need to get off the television. You need yourself to get off social media. You have to remove yourself from the constant bad news so that you can catch your breath and allow yourself time to breathe. And, you know, this idea of I'll do a workout every day. Oh, but there's all these free workouts. I didn't get to the workout and I'm horrible. Let that go. You know, because doing a workout every day is not going to make or break you at the end of this, but will make or break you is the amount of sleep you get, the amount of water that you drink, the nutritious food that you eat. If you have access to good, nutritious food. And those are the things, and allow yourself to hibernate a bit, because that regeneration of your own psyche and soul is going to give you more energy to be there for the people that need us. This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest has been Megan Englert, and her work, OTB Parenting, is there for your perusal. Check it out. She has a lot of ideas. And we'll be back next week, zooming in with you for new conversations. But until then, you can find previous shows at kcbx.org. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Take good care of yourself. And thank you for continuing to support Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. Don't you worry.